Welcome to the Inside Job Boards and Recruitment Marketplaces podcast. I'm Steven Rothberg, the founder of College Recruiter Job Search Site. At College Recruiter, we believe that every student and recent grad deserves a great career.
And I'm Peter Zollman, founding principal of the AIM Group. We're the leading global business intelligence service for marketplaces and classified advertising companies. We consult with recruitment marketplace companies, and we publish AIM Group Weekly Recruitment Intelligence and a free weekly digest. We also host the annual RecBuzz conference.
This is the podcast for you to learn more about how to create, manage, and work with general, niche, and aggregator job boards and recruitment marketplaces. Hey, Peter, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are.
It's afternoon where I am, which is in Florida, and I know you're in Minneapolis, so it's afternoon for you too. You're soon to be in Europe for your month-long sojourn, but, you know, it will all be good.
And winter is still way off into the future, or so they assure me.
If you're in Minneapolis, winter is never way off in the future. Two weeks max. And I lived in Buffalo for 5.5 years, so I know winter.
Well, and our guest, who we'll get to in a minute, he also knows Minneapolis winters quite well, which is one of the reasons that he no longer lives here. But so, Peter, what kind of stories is AIM Group following right now?
Well, I'm working on a very interesting one now about TikTok. As you probably know, TikTok did a TikTok resumes experiment, which lasted, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months or something like that. And they put it on ice. I'm sure it'll be back in one way or another. But TikTok is just this massive audience. And a lot of people are using TikTok in various ways for recruitment, not the TikTok resume story. So what do you do? How do you do it? What's it cost you? And that sort of thing. And it's early stage, as so many of these things are, but it also is not going away.
So these are recruitment videos by employers that you're seeing a lot more of?
Some are recruitment videos by employers. Some are employee engagement. Some are employees commenting, much as you would on Glassdoor, about a particular employer, positively or negatively. And one of the questions is, you know, how do you deal with a negative comments on TikTok? Because you can't take them down. You've got to, do you respond? Do you not respond? It's a subject that ain't going away.
Well, my TikTok feed consists of basically three things. One is outrageous car accidents seen through the eyes of a dash cam video. The second would be stand-up comedians. And the third, and definitely my favorite, are drama queen huskies, who are told by their owners not to do something, and then they just howl and howl and howl. And that definitely brightens my day.
And are you in category number two, or are you making an appearance in category number three?
I have no idea what that means.
Well, you said you have the crazy car accidents, and you have the drama queens, and I wondered which category you were posting in.
So I think that my wife would say that I would be the drama queen for howling and howling and howling when I don't get to do my thing. But speaking of howling, today's guest is... how's that?
That was terrible.
Yeah, so far he's still connected, so I don't think he's taking offense to it yet. But we'll see. We'll push it. So today's guest, one of my favorite people, is George LaRocque. He is the founder of WorkTech, which gathers and publishes the best data on mergers, acquisitions, and investments in the HR tech space. He advises HR tech vendors on how best to go to market. And if that's not enough, he's now also the founding partner of the Impact WorkTech Accelerator. And in full disclosure, he's also a member of the board of advisors of my company, College Recruiter.
Hello. Am I supposed to howl? Is this where I howl?
I think the howling will come after Peter asks you the first question. We'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I'm and congratulations on this podcast. I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you very much. We definitely need to know a little bit more about your data and the information you provide. But let's start at the beginning, which is, you know, right now, job boards, recruitment marketplaces, there are a ton of worries about the economy. There's still a lot of jobs out there, but growth is definitely slowing down. How's that impacting the work tech industry, job boards, recruitment marketplaces? What do you see?
There's a lot to unpack there in that question. Let's see. I think it's certainly a challenging time. It's challenging not just because of what's in front of us from an economy perspective, but also because nothing's happening in the way that it's ever happened before. So, you know, normally when we're talking about recessions, we don't have job growth like we do now. When we talk about a recession being imminent, we don't see wages continuing to surge. The consumer spending is not what is usually reflected with a recession. So everybody's scratching their heads on this. And I think from my perspective, what I'm seeing is that I haven't had a technology provider yet talk to me about serious pipeline stagnation or reduction in sales. I'm seeing a lot of hesitancy on the part of employers, but they're still hiring. They're still budgeting for technology. I think a lot of them are trying to avoid the mistakes that they made at the beginning of the pandemic, where it was treated like the resulting economic impact there was going to put a freeze on everything. And those who really cut fast and deep ended up being caught without they've never been able to recoup that staff or those teams ever since. So it's a time where I'm not seeing the impact in this HR tech, work tech, recruiting tech space that I'm seeing in broad B2B tech. I don't have rose colored glasses on. I think that there's going to be impact. It's just going to be, lumpy. There are going to be folks who are focused in your question centers on job boards and job board marketplaces. Folks that are businesses that are focused on talent that will still be hard to find, or things like diversity talent, or right now a big focus on early career talent, because that's where we're finding more diversity there, and we're finding a more economical hire in this time, and more focus on providing ancillary services like maybe skills certification or education, or even those that are providing contract or freelance resources. I think we're going to still see a lot of growth and a lot of focus there. I think if you're focused on an industry that's being hit really hard right now, that it's clearly going to have an impact on your job board if there isn't a lot of hiring being done. So I don't know. I don't know if that clearly gives you any clarity from an answer perspective, but we're just not where the rest of the B2B tech market is. And I think it's very surreal, as a matter of fact, how less impact we're seeing.
Well, I know we're just one data point, but it was really struck by your comment, George, that we're not seeing, pullback from the employers and stuff. And I can definitely say that is 100% the case with what we're seeing at College Recruiter in past recessions. We're an entry-level job board. we tend to be a bit of the canary in the coal mine, where we tend to see recessions coming before some of the other job boards might, or other work tech companies might. And boy, I remember with COVID, we were feeling it in January that there was a slowdown. And we just thought, oh, this is some kind of weird seasonal thing. And in February, it's like, no, this is really happening. And then the floor fell out in March. But for a lot of our indirect competitors, the general sites, the niche sites and that weren't entry level, they really started to feel it like late February, March. So yeah, fingers crossed that it becomes continuing to not have that floor fallout from bus. So, you know, related to that, in terms of the business that's coming into the job boards and recruitment marketplaces, let's shift over a little bit to the investment side. How are you seeing investments in job boards and recruitment marketplaces differ from the larger HR tech industry?
Well, in a couple of ways. I'll say that you've heard me say this before, Stephen. The job boards have they get a bad rap. I think from an investor's perspective, they're one of the most loved categories of investment. It is by far on an ongoing basis since I've been tracking this directly, the leading category for all investment, because it's a marketplace, because it's an environment where it's a business model that has a consumer play as well as the B2B play. And I think investors can get behind that. They can understand that. They can add value in that environment. Not that it's not complicated, but when you're dealing with some of the nuances of, you know, some HR software, you know, investors don't really, that's not their domain, right? But they understand a marketplace. At the same time, job boards have really led the way in specialization. So before any other HR technology, recruiting technology products were really narrowing in on, you know, in your case, it's early career and entry level jobs. You know, job boards were really first in driving value through that specialization. And sure, it makes good sense. We're going to focus on a certain type of jobs or geography or category. But now we're seeing more B2B tech in our space doing that, right? Healthcare or STEM or, you know, whatever the focus is, because you actually get bigger by having a more narrow focus. It's a little counterintuitive for some founders who want to solve everybody's problem. But that's one area that they've led. Another area that job boards have led, and I think investors see this, is I was referencing it earlier. You know, I'm seeing some really interesting models with folks that are providing education along with job access. So it might be there are some, these are all startups and emerging, you know, small businesses, but some are focused in underserved markets like the African continent or Latin America, and they're providing education and training and skill certification, and then opening up that talent pool to employers around the globe. And now as distributed work and remote work are more and more prevalent, they're creating lots of opportunity for that talent pool, but also providing more talent. Now, on the other hand, I've seen in the US folks that are delivering a similar model for sales, for healthcare. So it's a consumer play to the job seeker who is, you know, increasing their skills, increasing their value to the job market. And it's a B2B play to the employers who, if they're behind this platform, they're really nurturing a talent pool and can direct some of the curriculum or certifications, or minimally just get first dibs on internships, apprenticeships, or new hires.
We'll be back right after this break.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.
Welcome back to the Inside Job Boards and Recruitment Marketplaces podcast.
We've seen a lot of the crossover between education and recruitment marketplaces, and it's not all the small marketplaces at all. Some of the very big ones, we wrote a whole in-depth report about it, I would say a year ago now. It's very, very common because it's a transactional revenue generating model where a recruitment marketplace can add a great deal of transactional revenue that doesn't always come from the job seeker. Frequently, it comes from the companies that are willing to pay for the certifications and the like.
True.
Do you think that is going to become essential to a recruitment marketplace, having an education component?
I don't know if I would say it's essential. I think that whatever your value add is, if you're able to deliver talent with the the right skills, either in both volume and quality, if you're able to demonstrate that my dollar spent even fractionally at a job board brings me results, or in any channel, then I think you're that's what's essential. And if you're doing that by contributing to solving the skills gap problem, or access to more diverse candidates, which is another driver, big driver these days, you stand apart from a generic source of talent. But yeah, I don't know that I would call it essential, but I think it's certainly differentiating.
One of the big ones that's very, very engaged in education, by the way, is SEEK, which is the giant job board based in Australia, but also has South Asia, has some LATAM involvement and so forth. They got involved in educational products early and have a whole division of educational products. So they're out there with a lot of educational tools and services. Nokri in India as well, or not Nokri, but their parent company, InfoEdge. So big boys as well as the little guys are very actively pursuing that. While we have a chance, before we run out of time, and we've got a few minutes left, but tell us about Impact Work Tech Accelerator. What is that? What does it mean? And why should these people, many of whom have never heard of it, care?
Well, if you're there are three types of people who should care. One would be a founder who's got a product or an idea and is looking to get input, from operators and investors in this space to help accelerate or launch into the market. It's an accelerator. We bring in cohorts of companies focused in this work tech and HR technology space, and then provide mentorship and guidance. We're a little different than the broad sort of generic accelerators in the sense that we're not taking a huge chunk of their business to participate. We're also not, it's not a second job. It is, two sessions a week with a little bit of prep work, but the value is immense. That's what the first cohort has told us. The other two that should be interested would be individuals who want to give back to the industry, operators, executives who are interested in getting a view to what's coming down the pipe for new technological innovation and want to help these founders learn what they wish they had learned back in their early career. And then, of course, investors. We've got investors who are involved, and that's we've got a few firms that are involved, but we've launched a syndicate for investments. So if there are individuals who are looking to get involved as an angel and participate, we're going to bring this next cohort through that syndicate for access to investors there as well. So it's, what differentiates Impact Work Tech over other accelerators, I think, is its industry focus. And what the founders have told us is it's more like an onboarding, a really rich onboarding into the industry, and less like a boot camp, if you will.
Is it primarily for startups, or is this something that if there's a job board or recruitment marketplace that's been around for 5, 10, 15 years, but has a new product that they want to roll out, is that also an organization that should be looking?
Yeah, the accelerator is really for earlier stage startups. I would say, we like to see a product. It could be an MVP, or it could be early stage, or you've just got it in beta, or you're looking to get to that stage. But these are generally pre-seed or seed, to put some, that means less and less as each day goes on. But these are fairly early stage startups. For a more established vendor who's launching a new product or going to a new market or something like that, that's advisory that would come through WorkTech versus accelerator. Yeah.
And are all of these companies based in the U.S. or where are they from?
It's global. And I mean, it's global. It started to be global. My partner in this is Gareth Jones, who's in the UK. He's in the London area. Our cohort has largely been the US and Europe. We've had submissions from around the globe, and it's important to us to be not just US centric, and to reflect the market at large.
That's very cool. I'm going to plan on reaching out to you, George, about being on the, and I don't remember exactly what words you used to describe it, but the been there, done that group of people.
Great. I think you'd be great for it.
Yeah, I would be happy to give back. And I've never been involved in a group like that where you're essentially acting as a mentor, where you don't walk away with more than you give. But even if you give more than you get, that's okay too. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Peter, any closing words?
No, it's fascinating, and I want to learn more about it as well. I am embarrassed that I didn't know about it. I should, and we'll follow up.
Cool.
I smell a story in one of the AIM group's reports coming out on this.
That's a good nose there, Mr. Stephen.
Yep. Well, George, thank you so much for joining us today. For the listeners who want to learn more about WorkTech, you personally, whatever, how would you like them to do that?
They can go to oneworktech.com or find me, on Twitter or LinkedIn or all the usual places.
When you say oneworktech.com, is that the numeral one or is that O-N-E or both?
They both get you there. I thought of that one. Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. You'd be amazed at the number of people who don't think of that one.
That's one of those been there, done that type things, you know?
I think what our guest today, George LaRocque, is saying is that he is not as dumb as I look.
I won't touch that, Stephen. And I will suggest that Faith not touch it either.
Thank you so much, George. Thank you, Peter.
Oh, thank you both.
Inside Job Boards and Recruitment Marketplaces is a co-production of Evergreen Podcasts, College Recruiter, and the AIM Group.
Please subscribe for free on your favorite app. Review it. 5 stars are always nice. And recommend it to a couple of people you know who want to learn more about job boards and recruitment marketplaces.
Special thanks to our producer and engineer, Ian Douglas. I'm your host, Peter Zollman of the AIM Group, the leading global consultancy in the field of marketplaces and classified advertising. Find out more about our reports on recruitment marketplaces, job boards, and classifieds, including our new Recruitment Marketplaces Annual, at aimgroup.com/reports.
I'm your host, Stephen Rothberg, of job search site College Recruiter. Each year, we help more than 12 million candidates find great new jobs. Our customers are primarily Fortune 1000 companies, government agencies, and other employers who hire at scale and advertise their jobs with us. You can reach me at stephen@collegerecruiter.com. Cheers.
Hi there, I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor. So while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardnopodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.